Morning to you. We're so glad to see you here today, and we just thank God that He has blessed us. I know this week many of us have had blessings that we don't talk about, but we're thankful to the Lord. So louder. My wife is saying louder. Okay. All right. Is that better? Okay. Okay. Well, good morning. It is good to see you, and thank the Lord for His goodness this week to us. I'll go ahead and get into this so we can give Brother Philip time. And first thing I'd like to say is congrats to Logan Larkey, and he's a graduate of LMU, and we're just glad that he has finished his courses and, reached this success point. So congratulations to him.
Is he here?
He's not here.
Oh. She.
Oh,
sorry.
We were talking about that a little bit earlier, how that, we don't remember things just right. Okay, I'm sorry. So it's a lady. Okay, we congratulate her, okay, on those studies. Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize, Mark. Okay. Also this morning, I'd like to let y'all know that Shirley talked with Brenda Vickers this morning, and many of you may or may not know she had to go to the hospital this week, and she had some heart rhythm problems. And so she talked to Shirley this morning. She wanted me to let the class know that she's doing okay. And she hopes that she'll get to come home today. Okay? So y'all remember Miss Vickers as she finishes that up over there. And then I think that there will be some more things going on for her in January or thereabouts. So y'all keep her in your prayers. Also, wanted to remind you that tonight is a night of music. And so if you come to tonight's service, there'll be lots of singing and music here at the church. So I know you'll enjoy that. And so just keep that in your mind. And I noticed Brother Joe is wearing a little patch there. He got some surgery done on his face, so hope all of that went well, Joe. And others of you that have been going through things, I know Carl is back with us today. Carl, I'm glad you got your procedure done and everything looking well there. And so is there anyone else that has anything that's going on with them that they'd like to say or announce? Okay, well, that's good. That's good. Everybody's in good shape. Okay. This morning, we're still praying for our ones that are on our list. A lot of people has miscellaneous health problems, and they are suffering in different ways, different things. So we remember them today. Also, the shut-in people I dear to my heart, so I mention it every week. There's a lot of folks that used to sit right where we're sitting, and they are not able to come no more. And they want to. They just can't come. But let's remember them. And then, of course, our cancer list. I know Phil Deakins wasn't here last week, nor I don't see him today. He's having some sciatic problems in his back, and Miss Debbie is still not doing good. So let's remember the deacons. Also, for these that that we've been praying about, Randy Skelf and Pat, Miss Pat Shaw, others that are on a list all the time. So we don't want to get used to that. We don't want to. Yes, sir. Oh, so Randy and Pat Skelf have COVID. Now, so they're not only sick, and shut in, but they've got COVID. So let's pray for them. Okay. Just remember all of these, the unspoken requests that people don't really feel like sharing that openly, but they have things on their heart. And that is one of the things sometimes that we do have personal things in our lives that we just don't want to discuss out loud. So remember that. Okay, just a few more announcements. On Tuesday, 4:30 p.m., right here in the auditorium, we'll have our candlelight service. And that service will replace the Wednesday night service that we normally have. And the church will not be having a service on Wednesday. They'll be celebrating Christmas. And so we want you to remember that. And then another announcement to be sure and think about reading the Bible through this year. Maybe that's a yearly thing for you. I think I heard the pastor say that if you don't read the Bible through, maybe the New Testament through, to do something like that. And there's helps out here on the vestibule table for y'all to get to use if you need help in that. Also remember our birthday offering for Jesus. And with that being said, I would like to say our hearts and our condolences for the passing of Wayne Hauser. Many of you maybe didn't know Wayne, but he always sat in the middle section back here on the last pew. His wife passed a couple years ago, and so he is passed. We'll have his funeral today and the burial on Tuesday. So y'all remember his family in this. He has a daughter, son-in-law, and grandkids, and great-grandkids. So remember this family during this time, Mr. Wayne Hauser. Okay, anything else? Anybody have an unspoken? Okay. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll let Brother Philip come on. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for loving us. And God, we do thank you for the precious blood you shed on the cross there, Lord, for our sins. And Lord, we also thank you for that third day when you arose, dear God. Thank you for the plan of salvation. Lord, we pray that today, that as we go through this Christmas time and we think of the birth of Jesus Christ, and Lord, we just want you to fill our hearts with joy and greetings of that salutation that the angels brought that night, Lord. God, just watch over us during this time. And Lord, may we honor and glorify you in the way we should. And God, just forgive us our sin. If there be any sin there, Lord, please forgive us. And Lord, help us to know that one day we're not going to be learning or worshiping in faith. We're going to see you face to face. God, help us to do your will, I pray. Bless Brother Philip as he comes. Bless the morning service. And we'll give you the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I would like to talk about that this morning. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, we have the prophecy of what happened in Luke chapter 2. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So the promised seed has finally arrived. What an occasion. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law." The fullness of time. Well, how long they had to wait for it, amen? 4,000 years. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16, there was another prophecy about our Lord Jesus Christ's birth. in another analogy, but when the, I got Galatians again, Isaiah 28, verse 4, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. So that stone was laid on that wonderful day when she brought forth her son. Well, really, it was laid in the womb, amen, at the conception of our Lord. And there's an amazing verse in that text, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And it says this, you might have wondered why he would say this, he that believeth shall not make haste. What a statement after a promise of the coming of this foundation stone. And I was reading a commentary about this because I have questions just like you. It's like, why would he put this here? And the commentator was talking about how all these Old Testament Christians had to be patient for this event to happen. It was a long, long waiting. There are people like you and me. Now, you and I live on this side of that event, praise the Lord. It's historical. I mean, we grew up hearing about it. We have secular holidays based on it, amen? And it's just a part of the fabric of our society. But back then, they were all waiting for this promise. And God made that promise right along, but they had to be patient. He that believeth shall not make haste. You have to wait. It's going to be in the fullness of time. God sent forth his son. And it finally came. That stone was laid, that sure stone, that precious stone was laid. And of course, we know that that stone would be refused. Psalm 118:22, the stone which the builders refused has become the head of the headstone of the corner. So that refusal has not come yet. That is going to come in about 33 years. But it is right for heaven to rejoice. Amen. That is what we see in Luke chapter 2 and verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so it is right for the Father to send forth his rejoicing angels. Amen. What father doesn't rejoice over a birth? And so we see this eruption of praise. I can't even imagine what it was like to be one of those shepherds watching their flock by night, and all of a sudden they have this heavenly host. So yes, it's a wonderful occasion. I like Christmas. I like it for different reasons now than when I was lost. Of course, when I was lost, I like presents. I like all the cooking, the smells, and the presents, and the lights, and the presents, and the tree, and the presents, right? But not now. Now, there's other reasons to rejoice in this day. And it is important that we are aware of the timeline of events because we get them all mashed up in our observance of this day. We have a tendency to compress them all. So what I would like to do is look at the timeline and some important events in that timeline that are just rather amazing. Now, we know that there are only two Gospels that talk about the birth of Christ, correct? Matthew, Luke. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, reveals Christ as a servant, correct? So a servant does not need a genealogy. You don't see a genealogy in Mark. The Gospel of John portrays or reveals Christ as what? The Son of God. And the Son of God needs no genealogy. He is eternal. That's what we see in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, this is his genealogy, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning. The Son of God needs no genealogy, he is from eternity past. And so we have only Luke and Mark in the history of our Savior's birth. You can turn to Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, and we will look at some major events in this that sometimes we get a little bit loose with. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, it said in the sixth month, now it's talking about the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. So we have an engagement here, amen? They're now engaged. They've made a formal commitment to each other. This is a wonderful thing. But they haven't come together yet. The marriage hasn't happened. Of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Would you agree with that? I would. The indication here is that if she was alone in a room and he walks in, he came in unto her. Hail. Yes, I would be a little troubled with that too. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Of course, this is all a prophecy. This hasn't happened yet. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, the body, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to the word, to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So we have the Annunciation, we have her submission, and we have her conception. I believe, and we know that she had conceived already when she got to Elizabeth's house because of what event? The babe in her womb leaped at the presence of Mary's child in her womb. And she was already the mother of our Lord. And we're going to look at this a little bit more closely. But the moment she says yes, the moment she submits to the will of God, the Holy Spirit of God comes upon her and she conceives in her womb that precious thing. Now, this is very mysterious, and but we won't talk about it at this point. It's very holy. So here we have the conception, correct? Very good. Now, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 2, on down just a little bit. And so it was that while they were there, now we know that that is in Bethlehem, in the stable, because there was no room in the inn. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So a manger indicates a barn or stable. And how humble was his beginning. But we know, if we're looking at a timeline, that this is what? 9 months later, correct? So sometimes when we have pageants or we think about this, we think about the announcement being at the same time as this event, but we know it's not. This is 9 months later. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 2, this other account. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. So when he was born, correct? not when he was conceived, when he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them. Now notice these words here. Diligently, what time the star appeared. Now we know what time the star appeared. The star appeared at Jesus' birth. Appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for who? A babe in a manger? No, a young child. And when he had found him, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east, so now he's reappeared, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Did I read that correctly? Yes. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child. Now notice that over and over and over again. And his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And when there and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he wasn't mocked of them, but that's how he took it. He lost face, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time when he had diligently, we've seen that already, he diligently inquired, back up there, he diligently inquired of the wise men. So, in our timeline, we have the announcement, the submission, and the conception there in that private chamber with Mary. Nobody knows it but her. Amen? Conception's always very private. It's just her and the Holy Spirit of God. The angel left. The Holy Spirit came upon her, and she conceives in her womb. 9 months later, we have her in Bethlehem in a stable bringing forth her firstborn son. And then apparently, from what we read here, 2 years later, the wise men show up and find the Christ child in a house as a young child. And because he kills all the children from two, so he's just going to be careful here. He's going to kill them from 2 years, which is the diligent time that they saw the star in the east and made their way over. And so it took them 2 years to get from wherever they were to Jerusalem. And our Savior at 2 years is a toddler. He's standing up. We know what the development is, amen? He's probably standing there when they come in and fall down before him. He is a young child. 2 years. Now, in all of our pageants and in all of our Hallmark cards, and in almost every yard you see that's got a nativity scene, where do you see those wise men visiting a little baby in a manger? But that is not how it happened, amen? It's not accurate, and we should be as accurate as possible, and certainly we want to have in our mind not a Hallmark greeting card idea, correct? We want to have biblical ideas about everything in the Word of God. We don't want the world and whoever makes these wonderful pictures. And by the way, all of that, you've seen these wonderful pictures. You've probably sent them to your loved ones. You have a starry night. You have a star in the sky. You have three men on candles. And that star is so bright. And down comes this one beam guiding them to Bethlehem, to Jerusalem, correct? Now, we're going to look at that here in a minute. But that, folks, is a romanticization of this event. This is the world making it something that it's not, because that's not what it says. And we sing songs about that. We've got to be careful that the songs we sing are biblical. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar. I don't know if it was three or not, but it was three gifts, so we don't know. Field and fountain, moor and mountain. What does it say next? Following yonder star. Does it say that in the Bible? No, it does not. All that it says is we have seen his star in the east. So, let's take a look at this. So that's the timeline, correct? Now we got the timeline right. We have the conception 9 months later. We have the birth 2 years later in a house with a young child. We have the wise men coming and presenting their gifts and worshiping him. And then they flee into Egypt. Okay, so there's the timeline. That might be completely, you might know that, have known that forever. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2 again. Verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Did I get the right one? Oh, I'm in Luke. My apologies. I didn't get over there. Matthew 2:2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now let me read you some verses about this. In Job chapter 38 and verse 4 through 7, talking about the creation of the universe. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? And or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Now verse 7. When the morning stars sang together. So these are a group of angelic beings. They are there, I can't even imagine, as wonderful as the creation of our Savior's body was, bringing forth the multitude of the host singing. When God laid the foundations of creation, his angelic beings sang together in rapturous joy at this incredible feat of bringing something out of nothing. So here are the stars singing. By the way, in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 13, talking about Lucifer's rebellion, he says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Again, not talking about up there above those galaxies. He's talking about ruling and reigning over a group of angelic beings, the stars of God. Notice with me again in Daniel chapter 8, 9 through 10, talking about the little horn. When the end of this age comes and we have the Antichrist in this world, and out of one of them came forth a little horn which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. So here we have warfare in heaven, and that might be going on even now, folks, because we are so close. I'm looking for the little horn all the time, this man of sin. I'm looking for somebody in this world who's going to be so remarkable that he will be that man of sin, because we're that close. When I read the news, I want to know about Israel. I want to know what's happening there. These events are so important that are happening right now. I'm looking for something that's going to destroy that Temple Mount, and they're going to build that temple again. We're going to be very, very close to the end then, and I'm looking for a remarkable character to come upon the scene. I haven't found him yet, and maybe he won't be revealed until after we're gone, but he's going to be alive before we're caught out. Anyway, so at that time, there's going to be a warfare in heaven, and it says the stars of God are going to be cast down, and he'll trample on them. He will stamp upon them. So, again, this isn't heavenly bodies. This is heavenly creatures in this warfare that will be going on in the unseen realm at the time of this little horn. Christ talked about this in Mark chapter 13. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened. So there will be signs in the heavens, and the moon shall not give her light. But it says in verse 25, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. So in verse 24, we see material manifestations. In verse 25, we see spiritual battle and consequences in regards to the end of the tribulation. So I say all of this to prove to you that this star is not a heavenly body, but an angel who visited these wise men. We have seen his star in the east. So again, this is a romanticization of all that's going on in this important event. And it's not a heavenly star. Now, I'd like for you to think about this. If it is a star up in heaven, do you believe that that star up in heaven could actually lead them to a house? I mean, we do navigate by stars, but we don't travel along a path that leads us to a city by a star. I mean, that just doesn't happen. So what we have here is an angelic being coming to these people, wherever they are, the east, toward the sun rising, and gives them instructions to go where? Obviously not to Bethlehem, because that's not where they go. They go to Jerusalem. So either he does lead them step by step for 2 years, or he just tells them to go to this place, and they end up there at Jerusalem. This is important, by the way. Now, notice with me in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, not above them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And so, again, this is a strong indication that we're talking about a person, an angel. He sees them again after they had talked to Herod, and leads them to the very house that where the Christ child is. Okay. Do you know, there was a prophecy in Jeremiah, and it said, "Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not." Now we know that that was fulfilled by Herod in the killing of these children from 2 years old and under. That would not have happened if the Lord had directed them straight to the house where our Savior was. He sent them to Jerusalem so that this event could happen. Isn't that amazing? If he had taken them straight, all these children would never have died. But a prophecy had to be fulfilled. The workings of God, folks, are mysterious, to be sure.